Milk. He clapped a hand to his forehead. Where the molten metal touched his skin, the metal evaporated. The headache was really bad. He could remember the time when there was only him. It was hard to remember because there was nothing. No colour, no sound, no pressure, no time, no spin, no lights, no life. Just chaos. And the thought arose, do I want that again? The perfect order that goes with changelessness. More thoughts were following that one, like little silvery eels in his mind. He was, after all, a horseman, and had been ever since the time the people in mud cities on baking plains put together some hazy idea of something that had existed before anyone else. And a horseman picks up the noises of the world. The mud city people and the skin tent people, they'd known instinctively that the world swirled perilously through a complex and uncaring multiverse, that life was lived a mirror's thickness from the cold of space and the gulfs of night. They knew that everything they called reality, the web of rules that made life happen, was a bubble on the tide. They feared old chaos. But now... He opened his eyes and looked down at his dark, smoking hands. To the world in general, he said, "Who am I now?" Lutze heard his voice speed up from nothing. "Run." "No, you're wound up again," said a young woman in front of him. She stood back, giving him a critical look. Lutze, for the first time in 800 years, felt that he'd been caught doing something wrong. It was that kind of expression, searching, rummaging around inside his head. "You'll be Lutze, then," said Susan. "I'm Susan Stowe-Hellett. No time for explanations. You've been out for... well, not for long. We have to get Lobsang to the glass clock. Are you any good? Lobsang thinks you're a bit of a fraud."
"Only a bit. I'm surprised."
Lutze looked around. "What happened here?" The street was empty, except for the ever-present statues. But scraps of silver paper and coloured wrappers littered the ground, and across the wall behind him was a long splash of what looked very much like chocolate icing. "Some of them got away," said Susan, picking up what Lutze could only hope was a giant icing syringe. "Mostly they fought with one another. Would you try to tear someone apart, just for a coffee cream?" Lutze looked into those eyes. After 800 years, you learn how to read people, and Susan was a story that went back a very long way. She probably even knew about Rule 1 and didn't care. This was someone to treat with respect, but you couldn't let even someone like her have it all their own way.
"The kind with a coffee bean on the top or the ordinary kind," he said.
"The kind without the coffee bean, I think," said Susan, holding his gaze.
No, I don't think I would," said Lutze.
"But they are learning," said a woman's voice behind the sweeper. "Some resisted. We can learn. That's how humans became humans."
Lutze regarded the speaker. She looked like a society lady who had just had a really bad day in a threshing machine.
"Can I just be clear here?" he said, staring from one woman to the other. "You've been fighting the grey people with chocolate?"
"Yes," said Susan, peering around the corner. "It's the sensory explosion. They lose control of their morphic field. Can you throw it all? Good. Unity, give him as many chocolate eggs as he can carry. The secret is to get them to land hard so that there's lots of shrapnel."
"And where is Lobsang?" said Lutze.
"Him? You could say he's with us in spirit." There were blue sparkles in the air. "Growing pains, I think," Susan added. Centuries of experience once again came to Lutze's aid.
"He always looks like a lad who needed to find himself," he said.
"Yes, and it came as a bit of a shock. Let's go." Death looked down at the world. Timelessness had reached the rim now and was expanding into the universe at the speed of light. The Discworld was a sculpture in crystal. Not an apocalypse. There had always been plenty of those. Small apocalypses, not the full shilling at all. Fake apocalypses. Apocryphal apocalypses. Most of them had been back in the old days, when the world, as in End of the World, was often objectively no wider than a few villages and a clearing in the forest. And those little worlds had ended. But there had always been somewhere else. There had been the horizon to start with. The fleeing refugees would find that the world was bigger than they'd thought. A few villages and a clearing? How could they have been so stupid? Now they knew it was a whole island. Of course, there was that horizon again. The world had run.